For what, the last 50 years, professional success came with a pretty simple formula. You go to college, get the degree, get a job.
It was a straight line, a very predictable path.
Exactly. But here in 2026, the speed of tech change has just, it shattered that assumption. We have to look at that old formula and just admit it is completely and unequivocally broken.
And that's really the hard truth, isn't it? It's
What?
what we saw across all the sources we pulled for you today.
Yeah.
Employers are facing this widespread crisis of
A
execution,
crisis of execution.
a total crisis. They're overwhelmed by the potential of AI, but they desperately lack the talent to actually deploy it. They don't need people who can recite theory. They've got Google for
They need
them.
people who can do things.
Right. They need pragmatic, immediate execution using tools that, I mean, literally didn't exist 2 years ago.
So our mission today is to cut through all the AI hype and show you exactly what that execution looks like in this new era. It's about defining what replaces that old credential.
Yeah, we're tracking the rise of what the sources are calling the super generalist.
The super generalist.
It's the new professional archetype.
Yeah.
This is the person delivering, maybe 10x the output of a traditional specialist. And what defines them isn't their resume.
It's what they can do.
It's their functional skill achieved by leveraging these new platforms.
Okay, let's unpack that idea of 10x output, because this feels like it completely redefines how you get into high-value work.
It does.
I mean, this person doesn't have a professional design degree, but suddenly they're creating these sophisticated branding assets with something like Midjourney V7.
Right, or they're not a senior software engineer, but they can build a functional, responsive landing page because they have GitHub Copilot basically sitting next to them.
They aren't a copywriter who studied for 4 years, but they're drafting entire marketing campaigns with Claude 3.5. They're just skipping the apprenticeship.
Skipping the whole decade and jumping straight to the output.
What's so fascinating is that the market is paying a huge premium for this. The sources called it the synthesizer premium.
It's not about just using one AI tool. It's about a cognitive shift. It's looking at a business problem and synthesizing a solution by combining multiple technologies.
The vision tool, the text tool, the automation tool.
You got it. That combination is the key. The agility to connect those dots is driven purely by curiosity, not by a formal degree. And that's why we're seeing such a huge disruption in job value.
Curiosity, not a degree. I love that. Okay, let's jump into the first of the five high-value roles we pulled from the source material.
Let's do it. Job number one, the custom agent architect.
Okay. This role immediately feels like it separates the passive user from the person generating real income. Most people still use ChatGPT like a smarter Google search,
Yeah,
right?
they ask a question, get an answer, log off.
But the sources make it clear that the real business value is in building persistent agents, AI workers that actually live inside a business.
That is the opportunity. I mean, think about the market need here. You have small businesses, local law firms, property management companies, e-commerce stores. They are just drowning.
In repetitive work.
Exactly. The same customer service questions, day in, day out. But they don't have a huge IT department to build some complex solution.
So, why the architect? Why is that different from just hiring a programmer to code something?
Because you aren't writing code. That's the key. You're building this specialized function using platforms like OpenAI's Assistance API or Microsoft Copilot Studio. The high-value skill is defining the architecture and the knowledge base.
Okay, this brings us to a really key technical insight. We should slow down on this one. RAG, retrieval augmented generation.
Yes.
Explain that simply because it seems like it's everything for these agents.
It is. RAG is the mechanism that, well, it keeps the AI honest. You take the general knowledge of a big language model and you constrain it with specific private data.
So it's like the difference between asking Google and asking an employee who's only ever read the company handbook.
Perfect analogy. That's exactly it.
Okay, so let's use the example from the sources. Building a leasing agent bot for a property management company. How does an architect do that?
The architect starts by uploading every relevant document, the PDF contracts, the pricing sheets for specific apartments, the maintenance FAQs. All of it goes into the bot's RAG knowledge base.
So the bot isn't guessing anymore.
No more guessing, no more searching the public internet. And then, and this is the most important part, the architect gives it a critical instruction,
A constraint.
a hard constraint. You are a friendly leasing agent. Only answer based on the documents I have provided. Never invent prices. If you don't know, say, I will check with a human agent.
And that one step transforms it from a risk into a trustworthy 247 employee.
Instantly. For a small business where every phone call costs money, This is, it's revolutionary.
And the income potential is serious. The sources were saying freelancers are charging, what, $1,000, $5,000 just for the initial setup?
For a single agent, plus a monthly maintenance fee. It's a very high margin business.
Wow. Okay, let's move to job number two then, the synthetic media director. This feels like a huge shift tied to that technical breakthrough we saw around 2025.
Oh, that was the year the video generation dam just broke. I mean, it fundamentally changed an entire industry.
We're talking about tools like OpenAI Sora, Runway Gen 3.
And Pika Labs, yeah. When those hit commercial quality, the cost of making broadcast quality video just, it plummeted. From thousands of dollars a minute to pennies per clip.
But here's my question. If the tools are cheap and everywhere, why is the director job still a premium role? Why doesn't everyone just do it themselves?
Because the bottleneck moved from physical production to imagination and technical literacy.
What do you mean?
In the old days, a 30-second ad meant weeks of logistics. You needed camera crews, actors, permits, rendering time.
Right.
Now, the job is translating a pure vision in your head into a complex, precise prompt for the AI.
So you need to know about film, not just about code.
Exactly. The synthetic media director has to speak the language of filmmaking. You need to know what a low-angle shot with soft key lighting even is.
Wow.
Or a Dutch angle. Or a 50-millimeter focal length.
You're directing the AI like it's a cinematographer.
You are. You might write a prompt saying, a sweeping crane shot, golden hour lighting, cinematic film grain, shallow depth of field, neo-noir atmosphere. The AI needs that level of detail.
And the workflow is just generate the clips, use something like Sync Labs for lip syncing, and edit it together.
In hours, not weeks.
Yeah.
And this is why marketing agencies are desperate for this talent. Their margins are thin. If you can walk in and say, I can produce a TV quality ad for $500 in 2 days, you just replaced an entire production studio.
It's a pure market efficiency play.
Totally.
Okay, speaking of content, let's pivot. Job number three addresses the biggest quality problem on the internet right now. The human in the loop editor.
And the reaction to what the sources are calling slop.
Slop. Just AI-generated garbage, right?
Yep. Articles, blogs, copy, written entirely by bots with zero human oversight.
Yeah.
It's dull, it's predictable, and Google's already starting to penalize it because, you know, people hate it.
Which creates a demand for the human premium?
A massive immediate demand. The human in the loop, or HITL, editor is now the gatekeeper of quality. The AI is fantastic at the heavy lifting, right? It does the first 80% of the draft instantly.
But the editor is responsible for that crucial final 20%.
And that final 20% involves three things you just can't skip. First, fact-checking. The models still hallucinate constantly.
Especially with numbers and names.
Ah, absolutely. You can't automate verification. Second, and this is maybe the most important, is tone calibration.
Okay, what are they hunting for in that phase? Give me some examples.
They're hunting for the robotic cliches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like starting paragraphs with it is important to note, or using phrases like delve into or a rich tapestry of.
I've seen that one a lot, a rich tapestry.
It's everywhere. The editor strips that out and injects actual humor, specific stories, empathy, the things that make it feel human.
The third check is strategic direction, making sure the content actually does what the client needs it to do.
Right? Does it drive conversions? Does it get traffic? The verdict here is so clear. The hybrid editor wins. The writer who refuses AI is too slow. The person who only uses AI produces worthless slop. The hybrid model is the future of content.
So if the editor fixes content quality, the next question is how you fix the speed and distribution of that content. That brings us to job number four, the no-code automation orchestrator.
I love the analogy the source material used for this one. AI models are like these incredibly powerful engines.
Right.
But an engine sitting on the floor is useless. It needs a transmission and wheels, automation to actually move the car.
So the orchestrator's job is to build that car around the engine. They're using tools like Zapier, Make.com, or NEN.
To connect the brain, the AI, to the action, which are the company's apps. Slack, Gmail, their CRM, you name it.
You don't need a computer science degree for this.
No. But you do need to think logically, like an architect mapping out a floor plan. You actually see the sequence of events.
Let's walk through an example. That automation pipeline that creates an invisible employee.
Okay, the lead qualification one is perfect. So a new lead fills out a form on your website. Step one, Zapier grabs that data instantly.
Okay.
Step two, it sends the info, their job title, their company, their message to ChatGPT for analysis. The AI scores the lead, hot, warm, or cold.
But it doesn't just stop there. It acts on that score.
Exactly. If the lead is hot, The automation continues. The system drafts a personalized follow-up email in Gmail and saves it as a draft for the salesperson.
Wow.
And at the same time, it sends an urgent Slack notification to the sales manager. Hey, qualified lead ready to call.
That one perp line is literally an employee working 247. It's saving, what, hundreds of man hours a month?
For sure. Time that was just spent on manual data entry and triage. That's pure, measurable ROI.
Okay, that brings us to our fifth and final role, the personal data curator. This feels a bit different. It's less about a company and more about tackling decision fatigue for individuals.
High-level individuals, yeah. High-net-worth people, C-suite execs. The volume of noise they face is crippling. They're not just getting spam, they're getting hundreds of technical emails, market reports.
They don't just need a smart assistant. They need, what was the term? A second brain manager. An information sommelier.
I love that term. Information sommelier. Your job is to curate the client's information diet. You build AI workflows that summarize a 50-page PDF report into 4 bullet points.
And filter out 95% of the noise.
It's a relentless hunt for signal over noise. For example, if a CEO invests in the semiconductor industry, the workflow doesn't alert them to general tech news. It alerts them only to news about, say, lithium futures or specific regulatory changes in Taiwan.
So it's freeing up their cognitive bandwidth for the big strategic decisions.
It's the entire value proposition.
This is a fantastic list. 5 really actionable, high-value jobs. But I know what you're thinking if you're listening right now. You're thinking, I studied history, or I'm a literature major. I can't do this.
We have to address that head on. Because this is maybe the most empowering part of the whole deep dive. The 100-hour rule.
I think this is the great equalizer. I mean, look, the tools we just talked about, Sora, the assistance API, make.com, everyone else, they're all brand new.
Totally new.
There are no masters with 10 years of experience in this stuff. Everyone is a beginner right now.
And the math is just, it's ruthless, but it benefits the curious. If you spend just 100 hours of deliberate, focused practice on one of these tools.
Just one of them.
One of them. Watching tutorials, building little dummy projects. You immediately place yourself in the top 1% of the global workforce for that specific skill.
Hold on. 100 hours gets you to the top 1%. That just sounds too good to be true. Doesn't the market get saturated if everyone does it?
It's a fair question. But saturation doesn't happen because 99% of people never get past step one. They watch a few videos, they try one prompt, and then they stop.
So the commitment is the filter.
The 100-hour commitment isn't just about knowledge. It's a demonstration of execution. It shows a client you have the discipline to finish something. That separates you immediately.
That is a huge advantage, and it's built on effort, not a $50,000 tuition bill. The sources even gave a 4-step action plan to start this week.
Yep. Step one, pick one of the 5 jobs. Don't try to learn them all. Focus your 100 hours.
Step two, this weekend, just commit to watching every relevant tutorial on that one platform. Just learn the vocabulary.
Step three is crucial. Build a portfolio project for free. Go beyond the tutorial. Build a chatbot for your local pizza place. Build a simple automation for your own inbox.
And step four, put that case study with the real results, the time saved, the new function you created, put it on LinkedIn or Upwork. That track record becomes your new credential.
And that's the final verdict from this deep dive. The future doesn't belong to a degree on the wall. It belongs to the people with the most systematic curiosity in their browser history and the discipline to execute.
So this was your shortcut, your guide to being well-informed about this new career landscape. We've shown you the shift from just knowing things to actually synthesizing solutions.
So as you go back into your day, here's a final thought to mull over.
Yeah.
If the credential is dead and the 100-hour rule is the key to mastering one of these tools, what existing problem in your current professional life could you solve this week if you just committed to the first 10 hours of deliberate practice?